Heavenly Father, anoint these words. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn from this friendship. In Jesus' name, amen. The United Kingdom has had a ministry of loneliness for over 6 years. In 2018, the UK government announced that Member of Parliament Tracy Crouch would be the new ministry for loneliness. Now, you know, those of us who are fans of Monty Python know that there's a ministry of silly walks. And we looked at this and we thought, a ministry of loneliness? It's as absurd. But they didn't think it was, and it isn't. Time magazine said at the time that Ms. Crouch's job would be to tackle the sad reality of modern life and pointed out that countries around the world are increasingly examining as a public health concern loneliness, which is typically defined as the feeling of lacking or losing companionship. Japan and other countries soon followed suit. The U.S. considered it not as a department, although it wouldn't be surprising. But anyway, the UK's National Health Service stated that, quote, there can be many reasons for our loneliness, and sometimes there is no obvious cause, and it's just how we feel. And the UK's Mental Health Foundation points out that 1 in 4 adults feel lonely some or all of the time, and that overcoming loneliness is part of being a mentally healthy society. And I end my quote. Now I know why, when I turned 65, suddenly the nurse went on my regular checkups with the doc. Actually, it's every time I go to the doctor, they ask me if I've been falling lately, if I've been feeling like I want to do harm to myself, have I been feeling lonely, and other questions, because they're concerned about having a mentally healthy society. Now, there are lots of reasons for loneliness. Our ABCers who have lost loved ones over the past year will very quickly confirm their loneliness. That's a given. In fact, it's more than a year. Years later, when you've lost loved ones, you are lonely for them. 50 or 60 years of companionship, of a lasting marriage, is not something that you quickly overcome. In fact, you never overcome it. But society is lonely. The COVID pandemic, with its shutdowns and its forced isolation, which was 2 years almost to the date after the forming of UK's Ministry of Loneliness, only made it worse. And it's not gotten any better. Part of it is cultural. Part of it is definitely spiritual. And a lot of it is just a need for friendship. The biggest need is for godly friendship. We need good friends. And good is the key word. The writer of Proverbs pointed out, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. David and Jonathan were closer than a brother, and I want to look at their friendship in the brief time we have here this morning and show how we as Christ followers need to be good Christ-following friends. And this is true for both men and women. But in a lot of ways, it's more difficult for men. So I'm glad that we can look at these two young men and talk about healthy friendship. The first thing here is, and I had Chris read those 10 verses from the end of chapter 17 to beginning of verse 18. It goes all through chapter 19 and chapter 20, talking about this friendship and the danger that there was there. And I'm not going to read necessarily sections of that. Hopefully you read ahead or took my word for it about chapter 20 the other day. But you can do the follow-up if you haven't, if you want to know what I'm referring to here. The first thing here that I want to talk about here is that friendship isn't inherited. It takes careful attention. Jonathan didn't see a good example in his father, King Saul. He had watched as his father descended into a more and more fragile mental state. We heard some of that from Alex last week. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, and you see it as time goes on. Your healthy, mentally healthy person doesn't go around throwing javelins at people, okay? Saul was very fragile mentally. and Jonathan had watched him fail as life, his time went on. If you think back to the passage that Chris read to us earlier, David had been in Saul's court. The king had seen him around. And then this boy had been brought into the king's presence, still holding the giant's head in his hand. Must have been heavy. This was when David had been the only one with courage in the entire kingdom, the king included, to confront Goliath. And David had given all of his information to Saul at this time, but Saul still didn't remember David, even though he had tried his armor onto him and his sword and all. Saul still didn't remember David. He had to ask the general of his army, Abner, to find out who this amazing warrior was. And it was then and only then that David was brought into Saul's army that Saul seemingly noticed him. Jonathan, Saul's son, was infinitely more attentive than his father, and he knew a person of good character when he saw one. And he saw that David was good friend material. And David saw the same thing in Jonathan. Regardless of the way that Jonathan's dad fell short, David saw that Saul's son, Jonathan, was good friend material as well. So David and Jonathan became fast and very deep friends. Each loved the other as his own soul, Chris read in 1 Samuel 18:3. David was the son of a farmer from Bethlehem, and Jonathan was the son of the king of Israel and the heir apparent to the throne. But he gave David his princely robe, his armor, and his sword. And in a way, he was symbolically transferring his right as the next one in line to the throne to his friend who was closer than a brother. There's no evidence that Jonathan knew that his father Saul had lost his anointing and that indeed David had been anointed in his place. But it didn't matter to Jonathan because friends put their friends first. As this story unfolds, and as we have already seen, Jonathan had sealed his friendship with princely gifts, and David was getting all the glory. He's the one where, and we find it out in chapter 19, that David was getting all the glory. He was going out and he was hearing, David has killed his 10,000s and Saul has killed his thousands. David was getting all the attention. Jonathan, as a prince, wasn't getting any attention, but he didn't care. But Saul cared, and he was getting more and more paranoid. We find that in chapter 19, too. He actually conspires to kill David. He even tries to get Jonathan to kill David, but instead, Jonathan warns and protects David. He knew that his father was failing mentally, and though he loved his father, his friendship drove him to run interference for David, because friends put friends first. Now, friendship is mutual. Friendship goes both ways. A friendship where one person does all the heavy lifting is lopsided, and it's not really a friendship. David and Jonathan's friendship was decidedly not lopsided. Instead, it was an example of the beauty of chesed, which is a Hebrew word. And if I had it on the screen, you would be seeing that I wasn't just clearing my throat when I said that, okay? The beauty of chesed. This is a Hebrew word that appears frequently in the Old Testament to describe God's character and his love for his covenant people. And remember that David and Jonathan had taken a covenant of friendship, and the word used for the love they had for one another was chesed. This exposes the folly of the people who want to say that David and Jonathan's friendship was actually a homosexual affair. In fact, it's laughable and it's evil, because their covenant was one of chesed, which is often translated as love or mercy, and it can mean kindness, and it can mean faithful love, everlasting love, and unfailing love, but not sexual love. Now, I could go off on quite a tangent about people who only look at the Bible every once in a while to prove some point they have about their particular agenda. But I'm not. I'm going to stay on track and talk about this friendship. This Hebrew word, chesed, refers to a covenant love that has been promised and is owed, and can imply loving one's neighbor through acts of service and love. Psalm 23, that very famous psalm, says, "Surely in goodness and mercy," and the word there for mercy is chesed, "shall follow me all the days of my life." Surely goodness and loving kindness and care and friendship will follow me all the days of my life. This is the dedicated love of friendship, and not the erotic and selfish love that often characterizes homosexual or even heterosexual relationships. We're talking about loving kindness. The friendship David and Jonathan had was characterized by a loyal love that actually mirrors in many ways the loyalty that God has for us. And this is what we're singing about when we sing, "Who am I that you're mindful of me, that you can hear me when I call? Is it true that you're thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God, and he calls me friend. These friends, David and Jonathan, then had a God-shaped love. L.H. Brockington writes, love and loyalty are the very essence of any relationship based on personal covenant. In Hebrew, these two aspects are bound together in the single Hebrew word, chesed. As I studied this word, this Hebrew word, I wondered how closely it was related to the Greek word agape, which we know about. So I dug a little bit and I found this. Agape, and this is probably old news for most of you, agape is the word used for love in the New Testament, but it's often used to translate the Hebrew word chesed in Greek translations of the Old Testament. But it's not exactly the same thing. Instead, agape is this Greek word that describes God's very identity. Like where we read in 1 John verses 4, 7, and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. God is agape. It's a divine love that's unconditional and exists regardless of changing circumstances. As Christ followers, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about it. It's the kind of love that we have that has no conditions. We love anyway. It's divine, and it's what God expects of us. And so that means if he expects that of us, he knows that we are capable of it because he makes us capable of it. So while it's not quite the same as the Hebrew word chesed, it's close enough to being a good key part of being a good friend. And such loyal love is what caused Jonathan to stand up for and actually risk his life for David. Saul actually got so angry at Jonathan for defending and taking care of David that he actually threw the javelin at his own son. And this kind of love is what caused David to remember his covenant with his dear friend Jonathan many years later, when David cared for and preserved Jonathan's family many years after Jonathan was dead. Truly, the friendship of these two men had the elements of every descriptor of the Hebrew word chesed. There was mercy, there was kindness, there was faithfulness, and it was enduring, and it was unfailing. And that's the love they had for one another. Now, Jonathan actually lived this out, and we can and must learn from it. He risked his life and his family to make sure that David was safe from Jonathan's raging father. And he remembered his covenant of love for his good friend, his great friend, David. Now, do you need the ministry of loneliness? If so, maybe you need something far better, a ministry of friendship. Think about your friendships. Do Do you have friends? If you don't have friends, let's talk. Call me up and say, you know, I need a friend. I don't have many friends. But if you do have friends, and as far as I know, all of you do, ask yourself, what kind of friend am I? Are you allowing your friend to do all the heavy lifting? Or are you doing all the heavy lifting? Every one of us can have friendships like David and Jonathan, the kind where souls are knit together so to build one another up and to protect one another. You can have friends closer than a brother or a sister. We can eradicate loneliness with a ministry of friendship. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for friendships. Thank you for the friendships that I have, for the people that I know that I can count on, that send a message and say, how are you doing? Really? Or those people that show up when the going is rough and just sit there and have a ministry of presence. Thank you for covenant friendships where we love one another with agape, with chesed love that is trustworthy and ever-present and faithful. Help us to learn from David and from Jonathan. In Jesus' name, amen.